Earth, sky.
I guess ultimately, when I think about why I do what I do, is we're going to need to manage the global environment. And we're not going to be able to do that unless we have this kind of information to tell us what the baseline conditions are. So that as things are changing, we can detect those changes and monitor them over time. ISAT represents a remarkable new technology for getting that done in a way that really no other sensor can.
You're listening to remote sensing expert Michael Lefsky of Colorado State University, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. In summer 2010, Dr. Lefsky published the first ever map of the height of trees in all the world's forests. He used data in part from NASA's Ice Cloud and Land Elevation, or ISAT, satellite. Lefsky spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Lefsky, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
Tell us about your research published in July of 2010 that created the first map that shows the height of all the world's forests. What did you do and what did you find?
We combined data from two satellite systems, conventional images from the MODIS satellite, and estimates of forest height from the ISAT satellite to create a single image that gives you a height for all of the forested areas of the globe. The value of the map is that it gives a consistent height estimate for all of the world's forests, not only those in the United States and Europe, where we have fairly good estimates of forest structure, but also in the Amazon, in tropical Africa, and Southeast Asia, where there just simply isn't the kind of forest inventory that we take for granted here in the United States.
Why do scientists want to know the height of the world's trees? What's this all about?
Scientists want to know the height of trees because the amount of carbon that's stored within the forest itself is very well predicted from that height. So we want to know the amount of carbon that's stored in the Earth's forests so that we can estimate the effect of disturbance on those forests and the total amount of carbon that's stored within the forest itself. That's important because as forests are disturbed, we want to know how much carbon is going to be released from the stable storage within the forest as it's eventually released to the atmosphere.
Tell us a little bit about the science that was used to create this map for this series on NASA's ISAT satellite. Tell us how ISAT was used to do this.
ISAT is a unique instrument in that it can give us a direct estimate of the height of forests from space. Now, the way it does it is through LIDAR technology. It's very similar to an echo that you might hear. That is, we send out a short duration pulse of light. That light travels from the satellite down to the Earth's surface. It is reflected off the Earth's surface and then travels back to the satellite itself. The amount of time it takes for the light to be emitted, reflected, and then returned to the sensor gives you an estimate of the distance from the satellite to the forest surface. And because not all of that energy comes back at the same time, we can measure the amount of delay there is between the signal that comes from the top of the canopy and that which comes from the forest floor. The difference between those two times is directly related to the height of the forest.
Now explain to us what scientists mean by what they call the world's missing carbon.
We have very good numbers on, for instance, the amount of carbon that's being released to the atmosphere through burning of fossil fuels. We have very good numbers on the amount of carbon that's being taken up by the oceans. When you tally up all the carbon that's being released to or taken up from the atmosphere, you're left with this missing carbon sink. We know that that carbon is in fact being absorbed by something in the system, but we don't know where it's going. We need to know where the carbon is being absorbed because we're not sure if long-term that system is going to continue to absorb carbon. if, in fact, the carbon's being absorbed in a part of the system that will not be able to continue absorbing this carbon, the amount that's going to be released to the atmosphere itself is going to increase potentially by as much as a third.
The ISAT satellite, it ended its orbital mission and fell into the ocean in August of 2010. What's happening now in scientific measurements of Earth's forests?
Although the ISAT mission has ended, in fact, the science is going on. So in fact, about one out of seven ISAT science papers that have been published are on forestry or terrestrial ecology related topics. And about a quarter of those have been published in the last 2 years. So there's an awful lot of science that's going on and will continue to go on as we analyze data from this mission. Currently, we're looking toward the next generation missions. Those include ISAT-2, a follow-on mission, and Destiny, a mission that combines both a LIDAR and a radar, and we'll be looking at both biomass storage, forest height, as well as details of the Earth's solid structure. So looking at earthquake prediction and mitigation, those sorts of issues. Regrettably, there will be a gap between the ISAT and ISAT-2 missions. That is partially being filled in by the IceBridge mission, which is an airborne observatory flying instruments that are similar to those that were flown on ISAT and will be flown on ISAT-2. Continuity of measurements is critical in any branch of science, and continuity of measurements is one of the things that we want to provide from remote sensing.
What's the most important thing you want people today to know about ISAT and the world's forests?
Well, the most important thing I want people to know is that there are two sides to NASA, one looking out from the Earth and then one looking back at the Earth, looking at monitoring of ecosystems and how they're changing.
You've been listening to Michael Lefsky, a remote sensing expert at the Natural Resource Ecology Lab of Colorado State University. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.